Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Word on the Street podcast, where we make or attempt to make God's Word plain and simple for the everyday person.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Maddie.
Hello, hello. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, sir.
Sir?
You were baptized this past Sunday.
I was baptized this past Sunday.
And a little birdie told me that it was me that baptized you.
Yes. That birdie was there, and he's seen the whole thing. Yeah. Maybe even videotaped it. There's a videotape.
Probably, yeah.
It was pretty intimate. You held me like this and put me mm-hmm. down in the water. And
it cool. was a pleasure to baptize you, by the way. That was really my first ocean baptism. That was pretty amazing.
Well, thank you for doing it. It was very cool. It was a really cool experience. A lot of the church came and witnessed it. There was food after, and it wasn't just me. There was three yeah. others that got baptized. And it was really cool. It was a really cool experience. Yeah, it was all new for me. It was really cool. And I feel good.
Awesome.
It was cool. Yeah. It was a good day.
We were talking about this earlier, but my wife, Micheline, and I, after we were married, moved to New York City and found a great church there, and we were baptized as a couple there. I mean, individually, but it was pretty powerful. Like, you really can't explain it. Like, you feel like a rite of passage or just something, a connection to something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
But it's more than that and deeper than that. But so that was just awesome to share that with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt a similar way. I didn't know how I would feel or if I would feel anything or what to expect. And for maybe someone who's listening that's not baptized or, you know, kind of new to all this stuff, you know, it might sound odd or however it sounds, but for me, it felt all those feelings, something bigger.
Connection.
Yeah. That's how I explain it. But today we're going to be talking about purpose and meaning and adventure. And really, I think like one of the things that's cool about becoming a Christian and reading the Bible is taking on the adventure of it. And I think that's something that kind of gets lost. You know, I think sometimes we think of being Christian. Coming from someone who wasn't really Christian, you know, all that's, you got to be like buttoned up, and it's not really about adventure. It's more about being kind of boring.
And stifled and, yeah.
But taking on the adventure of life by sharing your gifts, like you have gifts that God gave you, that's the belief that you should share into the world. And there's a path that he's laid out for you to experience in the world. So let's get into it.
Awesome.
What would you say your experience is with that? You can go personal or you can go, you know, from scripture, tackling that subject of, you know, the adventure in your life. And God's purpose for you.
It's definitely been a process, you know. But as you know, I'm last year I turned 50. So, as you get older, you reflect more, you know. So, I've shared this before. When I was young, growing up, all I wanted to do was act. Like I thought that was it. And I remember after our time in New York City, when Micheline and I left, like that was probably one of the most depressed, dark times in my life, because I really felt like, well, that was it. And now that's not happening.
When you left acting and you went.
Yeah, we left and I shared, you know, for many reasons, we were ready to start a family. And the acting life at that point for us was just not viable. We had some little successes and stuff like that. But, you know, we learned very quickly that there's no, like, once you make it, you make it. Like, we had friends who were on Broadway, the show closed, and they were back at the cattle calls, back waiting tables because, you know, now they've got to audition for another show. So that was a big
there isn't much long-term security.
Right. Yeah.
There's no guarantee.
And you know, we had already been married 7-8 years and we're thinking, we're ready to have kids. And, you know, we're 3 o'clock in the morning at these cattle calls with mothers breastfeeding, passing their babies, like, hey, can you hold my baby while I go audition? We're like, this isn't how we want to bring up a family. And I'm not judging that, but
you just decided that
for Micheline and me, it wasn't like, and I also had mentioned that we were there for 9/11 and that took, you know, acting felt so insignificant. So,
so how old were you when you guys decided that and left?
We were pretty, young. We got married right after college, early 20s. So when we left in 2003. So that, I mean, mid to later 20s, when we had our first daughter, McKenna, we were on campus at Gordon-Conwell at seminary. And I think I was like in my late 20s, or if not, I was 30. So later than, I guess, the average person. But for us, that's just, we wanted some time together as a married couple to try and figure our lives out before we bring another human being into the mix. We saw that as a great responsibility. So anyway, so back to the adventure. In that dark time, it's like the adventure was over. And then I, you know, God led me to seminary and I saw at that time it was being like a music pastor or a worship pastor, director of a music program at a church. I felt like, oh, okay, so I'm using the gifts God gave me, but in a different way now. And I'm actually using them to glorify him, which for me was like, well, there's nothing greater.
What called you to, like, God called you to do it? Maybe for people listening, like, what did that mean? Was it just on your mind and you're like, I want to go to school and do this?
That's actually a really good question.
Yeah.
Because this also touches on, like, for me, I'd never heard an audible voice
yep.
of God. For me, being led by God and listening to the Holy Spirit is through others, you know? And I guess if I hear a voice, it's sort of like in my mind and it's sort of sounds like my voice, but,
yep.
but, so as we were leaving New York City, the pastor at our church, the associate pastor, many there said, you should look into seminary because you have a very, you know, you're great with people and just, I trust you and like I could share with you. And I was laughing it off. But it kept happening. Like even when we left, it was said enough to me that it impacted me. I wasn't right. laughing it off anymore. I felt like, well, you know what, God, I'm sorry for laughing it off. And this is just where I was in my faith and faith journey. If that's a door, I'm not going to close that door unless you're going to close it. So I will go to, you know, Gordon-Conwell Seminary was just one town over from where we were. So I said, I'll go there. I will talk with someone there about what kind of studies are available. And if that's something you want me to do, I'll do it if, you know, you let me know. And I remember it was up on they've sold the campus recently, which very sad about. I mean, it's a beautiful campus up on a hill and you can see out to the ocean. I hadn't talked to anyone. I got out in the parking lot and I just felt like, okay, this is where you want me to go. And it just felt right. And I was excited. And I hadn't felt that for a long time. Like I felt possibility. I felt, wow, this could be great. Like, you know, career path and minimally,
yeah.
but just the excitement of, wow, you know, learning something new, but still in the realm of the giftings that God gave me.
Yeah.
There was hope.
That just reminded me of a lecture I was listening to where they're talking about, the narrow path.
Yeah.
So it says in the Bible, right, that the pathway to heaven is narrow, the highway to hell is wide.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, you know, it's hard to get in heaven. It's a narrow path. If you let everything kind of go, the highway to hell is,
yeah,
you know, is wide. In this lecture, they were talking about how you know you're on the narrow path is when you feel like you're at the right place at the right time. That just reminded me of that. Because, like, I think we all have those moments where, like, ah, I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm supposed to be having this conversation. Like, I have this internal guide of what I should be doing, and I'm following it now. And I feel like when you go to bed at night and you think, like, oh, I should be doing more. I should be doing something else.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. It's like, no.
Because I was feeling that after leaving New York.
Yeah.
So it's almost like when I stood in that parking lot, there was that element of, okay, so we were supposed to leave New York and I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Like there's not just comfort in that. There's like possibility and hope in that. Like, yeah, okay, I'm not off. I haven't missed anything.
Yeah, because I think you can really cling to things, right? Like, you can really have this idea in your mind. Like, we were talking about before, I did the same thing. It was like, you really have this idea in your mind. This is what I want to do. And you're, like, holding on to it so tight. It's really hard to let it go, you know, especially if it's been a dream for a long time.
Yeah, and when you're in it, and it could be the right thing you're doing, but for now.
Yeah.
The trap can be that you're enjoying it so much that you miss sort of the momentum to something else, you know?
Yeah.
Man, wow. That's fascinating.
Because I think the average person would probably understand that, like, feeling you're in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think people would feel that.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting because Jesus was telling the disciples and all about his ministry was don't, you know, don't worry. Don't think about tomorrow. There's enough worries for tomorrow. Think about now and what God is doing now, because that's where his kingdom is. That's where his plans are for you now, so that you don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Does that mean I grew up with anxiety and just, I'm always worrying about tomorrow, got to pay this bill, and how is that going to happen, blah 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 blah, and it just spins. Like, I can't just turn that off.
Yes.
So that scripture where Jesus says don't worry, I kind of hated that scripture for a while, because it's like, well, I can't not worry. That's just a part of who I am.
Yeah.
So Jesus, tell me how not to.
Yeah.
And what I'm learning is when you kind of breathe into the moment, enjoy, like, fellowship and connection, relationship, or even just connect with, take a walk and look at the grass or look up at the sky and close your eyes and breathe in the now, that's where God wants us. Like, that's reality for me. Mm-hmm. That's like the essence of where God is, where he has us, who we are, and it centers you. I mean, that's the anxiety goes down. My heart rate goes down and I feel present.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if I mentioned on this podcast before, but I did a mental health podcast where I had people on and share their mental health story. And I did about 100 of them, but the common denominator I found when talking to people, and I 100% experienced this myself, was that there was all this struggle of mental health, but in the solution, it was always something along the lines of like taking a step back and doing the basics, like drinking water, going outside, spending time with family. And it, just the way you described it kind of reminded me of that. And in my own life, it's like you can get so stressed about life and what's coming next, or you can be here And now I'm just, it's almost like God forces you to do that sometimes. Like when you're in terrible
shape. Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. It's like when things get so bad, you know, when someone dies and you're grieving, they say take it one day at a time because you can't possibly think about what it's going to be like a year from now, when it's going to be better, right. And all that stuff. So it's like, and the only thing you do is be right now and process today.
Yep. And who's with you?
Yeah.
To help process with you.
Yeah. But that's slowing.
That's fascinating,
down.
Man. Yeah. You know, so I'm actually preparing. This is an illustration I'm going to use in my sermon on Sunday. Is I remember, Comedians in Cars, that Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I want to watch more of those because, you know, sort of as an actor, I still call myself an actor, but like I love to hear and get into the reality of who people are.
Yeah.
And he was talking with Eddie Murphy and he said, so when you're not acting, like what's your favorite thing to do? And you know, Eddie Murphy is, you know, always has a wise crack, and he just quieted for a moment. And he said, man, nothing. And Jerry Seinfeld, you know, laughed a little, nothing. And Eddie Murphy was like, no, but like nothing, like with my family, like sitting on a couch, no agenda, no phone calls, no schedules, just with my family. And there was this longing, like, I wish I could do more of that. And Chris Tomlin, you know, popular worship, always touring. I think Time Magazine declared him the most successful songwriter ever because just so many of his songs you leave singing. That's the success of a songwriter. But he said at one point, this was several years ago, that I wish I could just slow down and be with my family more. You know, going back to that moment of, you know, doing nothing, which this was Eddie Murphy's point, isn't really doing nothing. It's just being present with your family, nothing in the way, being you with trusted people around you, kind of resting in the moment is powerful. It's like a recharge, you know, and I think that's why God worked it into the flow of our human schedule, is prioritize this because it's so important.
Maybe that's a good place to end it for today. We could keep going, but maybe we'll keep going next time.
Yeah.
So that's it for the Word in the Street podcast today. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Any final thoughts?
I just like to thank people that have found us and are tracking with us. And I know our release schedule is a little
spotty,
but thank you for bearing with us. And we're here if you need us.
Yeah, send us an email to the email. If you have any questions, anything you'd like us to tackle, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
And thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bless you guys. Bless you, Maddie.
Bless you.